Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godrej Agrovet Limited 2Q FY23 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Cirumalla from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vivian. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Godrej Agrovet Q2 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities. From the company, we have with us Mr. Nadir Godrej, Chairman of the company, Mr. Balram S. Yadav, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Varadaraj, Chief Financial Officer. We would like to begin the call with a brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive question and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Nadir Godrej to make the initial remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Godrej Agrovet earnings call. I hope and wish you are doing well. Godrej Agrovet clocked a healthy top-line growth of 13.5% in quarter two fiscal year 23 and 19.5% in half one fiscal year 23 year on year. However, it was a challenging quarter in terms of profitability as it was impacted due to volatile commodity prices, higher input costs, and limited transmission of those costs. During the quarter, crude palm oil prices corrected sharply from all-time high levels in May 22 on account of oversupply from Indonesia and Malaysia post the lifting of export bans. The southwest monsoon was erratic and unevenly spread. Prices of rice bran extraction jumped sharply in quarter two, and maize prices continued to trend higher. Coming to the key financial and business highlights of each of our business segments, in animal feed, we achieved 6% year-on-year volume growth in quarter two and 8% in the first half of fiscal year 23. The volume growth in quarter two was mainly led by market share gains in the cattle feed segment. On the margin front, the animal feed segment achieved a sharp recovery in EBIT per metric ton on a sequential basis from 694 rupees per metric ton in quarter one to 1381 rupees per metric ton in quarter two. For the vegetable oil segment, it was a mixed quarter with strong recovery in volumes of fresh fruit bunches, which was offset by lower prices. The average realizations of crude palm oil and palm kernel oil declined by 16% and 3% respectively in quarter two fiscal year 23 versus quarter two fiscal year 22. On the other hand, FSP volumes grew by 15% year on year in quarter two, more than offsetting lower volumes recorded in the first quarter. The standalone crop protection business recorded a top line growth of 11% year on year, driven by higher sales of in-house herbicide products. Reduced application opportunities for PGR and insecticides, coupled with a strict focus on credit hygiene, limited sales growth to some extent. The crop protection business achieved strong improvement in working capital in quarter two, driven by concerted efforts in maintaining credit hygiene. Astec Life Sciences continued to deliver a strong performance as profit after tax doubled in quarter two and grew by 35% in H1 fiscal year 23 over the corresponding previous period. The robust top-line performance was driven by volume growth in export markets, coupled with higher realizations in both export and domestic markets. It should be noted that quarter two fiscal year 22 performance was impacted by flooding in our Mahad facility, and hence in the previous year, and hence there was a low base effect as well. For our poultry segment, quarter two is a seasonally weak quarter. Despite that, Godrej Tyson recorded 14% top-line growth, led by robust volumes in Real Good Chicken and the Yummies category. The EBITDA margin contracted as there was a sharp decline in live bird prices during the quarter. Quarter 2 fiscal year 23 performance of Godrej Tyson was not strictly comparable with quarter 2 fiscal year 22, as the business had benefited from pent-up demand post-easing of COVID restrictions. Our dairy segment achieved sustained growth in both value-added products and milk volume in quarter 2 fiscal year 23, and as a result, revenue grew by 27% year-on-year. Our value-added product portfolio accounted for 34% of the total sales in the first half of fiscal year 23 and has grown by 49% year-on-year. However, profitability remained a drag as continued increase in procurement prices could not be fully passed on. GAVL's joint venture in Bangladesh, ACI Godrej, recorded a revenue growth of 23% year-on-year in quarter 2. That concludes our business and financial performance update for the quarter. With this, I close my opening remarks. We will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Kindly press star 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Kindly proceed.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question, on the RM inflation side. Now, this quarter specific, we saw, decent pressure on the RM side across many of the business segments. Animal feed, crop protection. So, your thoughts there in terms of pass-through. How are we looking to address this RM inflation and, whether it is just one quarter phenomenon and maybe next quarter onwards things should be back to normal?
Okay. Let me first talk about animal feed RM. Look, I think we have sufficient experience and knowledge on these movements of raw material prices in case there is no external intervention which can cause dissonance which is not natural. So we only faltered once in this year, and that too in soya, because of which our poultry feed as well as aqua feed contributions took a hit. When the prices were of soybean were ruling very high, and there was no chance that India will import any more soybean, and all the poultry people and the aqua feed people were well covered for off season, suddenly the government of India, under the pressure of inflation, announced import. And that is the only time we got caught because of adverse raw material situation. However, you can see we have corrected that. The margin in animal feed has come back to about 1300 rupees a ton from 694 to 1381 rupees per metric ton. And now that raw material prices are falling, so the margins are likely to improve further in Q3 and Q4. So that said about animal feed, I just want to use a caveat that in Andhra Pradesh there are price controls in shrimp feed and fish feed. So entire inflation and raw material cost was not passed through in this state particularly, and that is why the margins suffer. But with the lowering of raw material cost, I'm sure margins will improve in aqua feed also. Now, one thing which we are unable to understand and get a grip of is this secular rise quarter on quarter on the milk cost. Now, that is one thing which is worrying, because there is no flush. So the prices continue to go unabated, but we are unable to pass through most of the increase in milk cost to us because cooperatives are not taking price increases. For example, the cow milk prices have gone up by almost 18%, but we have taken a price increase only of 5% in the first half. I think that is hitting us very badly. So that, I think, remains a concern. However, in all other parameters of CDPL business, we are doing okay.
Sure, sir. And just your comments on the crop protection side, especially on the standalone, is there a recovery? Because I note that, you mentioned the receivables, etc. We have been pretty strict on that side, which is a good news, but from a growth perspective as well as RM inflation pathway.
So, crop protection, actually, this business went through a lot of hiccups in, if you remember, COVID-1 and COVID-2. Both happened at the peak of our season, which is April to June, July. And 22, in year 21, it was followed by a drought at the right time. That is why there were a lot of unsold material. Now, this also exposed us to our weakness in terms of our inventory management, agility, etc., which at one time used to be our strength. And we were left with a lot of unsold stocks and all kinds of hygiene issues. As I conveyed to you last time, that we took help of external consultants for a long project in trying to overhaul this business. Hygiene is of prime importance for us. So I think that project is still underway. And as and when we get an opportunity to clean up a few things which are unsold or some toxic debtors, we are doing that on a regular basis. But unfortunately, I think we are little bit hurt by luck also. We had a lot of hopes in September, October sales in CPB because of rains. I think it got washed out. You would have heard similar things from other companies. But having said that, I think our woes are almost getting over. Inherently, this business is an extremely profitable business. And my sense is that I think the kind of cleanup and the kind of strategies and processes we have created right now and the action plan which has been implemented, I am very sure you will see a return to profitability to the earlier levels very shortly. Having said that, I must tell you that more new molecules are coming in the pipeline through our own molecules as well as through in-licensing. And you must be knowing that Gracia has been a great hit and we are likely to double the volumes next year again. I'm saying that there are a lot of things in the right track, but I think this cleanup was necessary. So we bit the bullet and cleaned up the whole system this year. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Just one clarification. If I heard you right, in crop protection, it's more a revenue growth issue because of the erratic monsoon. And from an RM,
so we are not selling.
We are pretty much there.
Yeah, so we are not selling unless and until the outstandings are reconciled and paid for, etc. So we are very cautious. I think we have strict rules for the sales team now to give credit. And I think we have suffered, so we are not very interested in top line, at least for this quarter. I am very sure that the kind of traction we are seeing now and the collection reach we are seeing now, which is very evident in our working capital for this business, I think we will be back to normal in one or two quarters. If not in Q4 this year, 100% sure that Q1 next year will be again back to normal.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side and all the way. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1 now. Please press star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question, sir. just a couple on two of the segments. First, on oil palm, if it's possible to share a few metrics around the volumes, both the fresh food bunch as well as the oil volumes themselves, as well as the average realizations on the key products and the oil extraction ratio, please. Thank you.
Let me tell you that in oil palm, the volumes. Okay, let me give you a answer to what is happening in the industry. One of the things which we are noticing in last 2 years, particularly this is the second year, is that the season is getting shifted by at least a month. And that is why you saw some shifting of volumes from Q1, where we grew 5%, to volumes in Q2, where we grew more than 15%. And the growth in Q3 will be even higher than 15%, maybe 20-25%. So I think this is one change we are seeing. We are studying that. And in case we feel that this is going to be a normal phenomena considering October rain, from next year onwards, our budgeting will reflect this change. That's point number one. Point number two, I think the pricing is something which I don't want to comment on because it is international prices. You can easily calculate. Now, nothing is following what the experts are saying and what the trends are. When everybody said that CPO prices will not fall, they fell. And a month ago, everybody said that they will not rise. Now they have started rising again to 91, 92 rupees. But such is the situation in global commodity market. On OER, I can definitely say that we are doing well. A lot of our initiatives have proved to be very, very beneficial to us. And quarter on quarter, our OER is rising. I can give you some example also. Just a minute, huh? So if you see, in H1, it was 17.75. H2, it is 18.62. And I can definitely, H1 23 is 18.62, as compared to H1 in 22, which is 17.75. I can definitely say that it will be much more than 18.62 for us in H2. In the current year, I think a lot of our initiatives are proving to be very, very good in improvement of OER and definitely yield also. I just want to remind you that more OER is direct addition to our profitability because we pay on weight of fruit.
Got it. That's helpful, sir. So, just to clarify, now with oil prices having started to rise again, contrary to all expectations, should we expect that 2Q was probably the low water mark in terms of profitability for the business?
Q3, you must always remember that normally this is starting of the off season. So we have had a very good October. September also is promising, but it started tapering. So the tapering will take probably longer than normal. So you can expect it to be better than Q3 of FY22. But definitely Q4 will be off season. So that said, I think all in all, the performance of this business will be, in terms of several indices, which is OER, FFB volumes, and other efficiencies also will be better than FY22.
Right. And
oil prices are your guess, so you can plug that number.
Okay. And in animal feed, can we expect to get back to our targeted level of 1800 to 2000 rupees EBIT per ton in the second half?
So, all signs are pointing that it will be much better than Q2. Will it reach the numbers you are talking about? Depends on how raw material prices shape up, particularly in Q4, when most of the in-season stocks are there, and then what positions we take will come into play. But I am very confident that Q3 will be much better than Q2, and Q4 and Q3 will not be too different.
Got it. So one last thing from my end.
I think in animal feed business, we just want to keep on creeping in volume. We are very glad to say that in this first half also, we have grown 7-8% on the back of almost 20% growth last year. So I think we are, in case we get to 8-10% growth for next 1 or 2 years, we will get into a virtuous cycle where scale will start playing. I'm very glad to say that there is a big jump in our capacity utilization last year and also this year.
Sure. And finally, on the Tyson business, this correction in live bird prices, how does it look year on year? Was it particularly more pronounced this festive season compared to the previous year?
So let me just tell you the live bird prices story. So I think we can show a simulation where live bird business, except for the COVID year, never lost business because it is commodity. So when the prices go down, the population goes down and comes up. And last 10 year data, it is a simulated data with actual numbers, shows that we can make 4-5% PBT to about 15-16% PBT, which is a standard commodity play. But I must point out where the efforts went and what is the advantage. I think what is noteworthy is that we have been putting a lot of effort in the Tyson Foods chart. Yes. Okay. Just hold the line for a moment. So I need to tell you that the focus for last several quarters is the branded business, and I must tell you that we have had 26% top line in our branded business, RGC 75% growth over last year, and Yummiez 39% growth over last year. This is the future. And that is one of the reasons that in spite of a very poor first half as far as live bird prices, we are profitable. And that is where we are building our business. And I can definitely assure you that we have very good clients in our process business. We have also got very good traction in our frozen heat and eat business. So I am very sure we will continue to build this branded business. You asked me about live bird prices. I think live bird prices will remain close to 100 to 110 rupees in the next coming weeks. I cannot talk about January onwards because we have no clue on what are the placements, but I can definitely give you an indication of Q3. Most important part in Q3 is not prices. We believe that cost of production of chicken will fall almost 7-8%. It has already fallen about 5% on the back of raw material prices. Soybean has come from 51,000 rupees a ton to 40,000 rupees a ton. Corn from 25-26 rupees to 22 rupees. And all this will play out in next 2-3 months.
Thank you, sir. I'll come back in queue for one more. All the best.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Vidit Shah from IIFL Securities. Kindly proceed.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. My first question was around the share of profits from associates. That's dropped sharply from 2Q, 1Q levels this year and even YOY. So what's happened there? Has the profitability at the ACI JV declined sharply, or is it coming from other associates?
Yeah, so I need to give you some flavor of what is happening in our neighboring country, in Bangladesh, where we have a substantial business. We are almost, I think we are number 2 now in the animal feed business there, and we are growing volumes at 7-8%. Last year again was a big growth. The big problem came last year was from the price controls in poultry feed, because I think Bangladesh has brought lot of price controls in poultry feed, and that has hurt us very badly there. And unfortunately, poultry feed used to be the most profitable product, but in the first half has become a loss-making product. So that said, that has hurt us a lot in Bangladesh. However, with the drop in cost profitability has come back in October and is likely to build up in future. But there is very little we can do when the sovereign government start putting price controls on food and very critical commodities. Near our home, you know that Andhra Pradesh government has put price controls on aqua feed and fish feed, not from point of view of controlling inflation, but purely politics.
Yeah.
Got it. And so just in terms of future growth plans, we understand that Aztec has a lot of plans in terms of growth, but if you could just shed some light on plans across the other segments, especially the animal feed and the dairy segments, and the poultry segment,
so I'll go business by business. In animal feed and aqua feed, we have adequate capacity now. This year we commissioned one fish feed plant because the situation in Andhra Pradesh is not likely to improve in terms of profitability if the government keeps on bringing price control. So rest of India, both in fish feed and in shrimp feed, is the focus. We have commissioned one plant about 3-4 months ago in Barabanki. And I am very glad to say that the capacity is to produce 55,000 tons of feed. And we might just exhaust that capacity next year, but it has a great opportunity to double the capacity at marginal investment. So in animal feed put together, I don't see more than 20-25 crore investment opportunity at least in next 6-8 quarters. In Aztec Life Sciences, in that meeting we have already told you that the plans are already made for big investments in this. For that, we are likely to acquire some industrial land in the state of Gujarat or Maharashtra. I think they are very near closing those deals. In oil palm plantation business, two investments are already underway. It will cost us about 70 crore rupees. One is a 400 metric ton refinery. I think once we refine, then we will benefit. The profit margin can improve from by about 1.5 to 2% because of the erratic schedule of lifting by our customers. We get a FFA penalty because more we keep crude palm oil, the FFA rises and there is a penalty for that. And we want to use a lot of byproducts and extract oil from that also. So we are setting up a 200 metric ton per day solvent extraction plant also. So I think these two investments are already underway. There's nothing much which has been planned in other businesses except for the fact that one SIG line in our milk business will be operational. So we will be able to make multiple value-added products there in different sizes, and that line should be functional in January. And effect of that, you will see in our salience rising in value-added products in Q4.
Got it. So, what are the timelines for the two investments in vegetable oil, the refinery and the...
I think refinery, definitely we are going to commission in April, and solvent extraction plant in May, but solvent extraction plant is needed in June, so we are trying that if we are able to make it operational in May, there will be immediate benefit to us. Good thing about the solvent extraction plant investment is that we will also experiment in off-season, extracting oil from rice bran. And we will also learn about the de-oil rice bran economics through the solvent extraction plant. Because we are a big user of DORB, both in our cattle feed business and our fish feed business. And I think this plant is very important for us to learn in case we need to learn about backward integration into raw materials in the other two businesses.
Okay, thanks for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suman Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Kindly proceed.
So, hi sir. So, my question is regarding the margin volatility for overall company. And we have seen some companies, some segments like the animal feed, sometimes margin is under peak, and again we have seen some risk. So overall, all the segments we see, maybe the animal feed is complementary for your milk business and animal feed is complementary for your Tyson food business. But is it complementary and having a backward integration, but sometimes have a severe impact also on the margin front? So we need to understand what are the strategic investments we have taken and going forward we are going to take to mitigate the risk of so many variables we have in our company across segment.
So I think one thing I fully agree with you, because such a diverse business, and when you are present in all parts of the agri value chain, whether it is pesticides, whether it is technical oil, and all kinds of animal protein, both on the feed side and the output side, some or the other volatility will hit, because we have never had a year in the last 30 years of my experience when one part of the segment has not been hit. So I think that is very well understood, and that criticism is very well accepted by us. And I can definitely say that yes, we are looking at our portfolio very closely. But it is not easy to solve this problem in bad times particularly. And if you understand what I am trying to say. Second thing is that we are a little, I would say, constrained by the structure also. In some businesses we own 51%, some businesses we own 52%. One of the companies, public also, Astec Life Sciences. So I think it will take us some time to solve this puzzle. But I can definitely assure you one thing is that efforts are on in all businesses to pull out costs, to make them sustainable and scalable. We sit in a very huge opportunity in each area. And my sense is that the internally, I'm very sure that we are working very, very closely to cover gaps which we have. But externally, I cannot say, because this is a very, very volatile sector. And something or the other will definitely hit us. But having said that, I think vertically integrated business are less susceptible to these kind of volatility. And I think portfolio strategy is definitely underway. How and when we do it and in what shape it will come is still under discussion.
So do we have any plan? We are so diversified, and Do you think any of your business should demerge and run separately to handle in very good manner, so your earning volatility will be lower, or you will give more energy towards that segment to control all the risk?
But I'm saying that this is a matter of strategy also. And I think definitely there is a need for a discussion and thinking on that, which is also underway. I'm not saying that it is not underway. The point is that these are very, very strategic discussions. I can definitely say that we are sensitive to that fact. We also understand what is happening in the macro environment. But for me to tell you anything concrete on a call is not likely the right thing to do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Kindly proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the shrimp feed business, have we taken any price hikes in the current quarter, Q3?
Sorry. We have taken a price hike, but the government asked us to roll it back. The price hike was 2,250 rupees a ton. So unfortunately, we have to roll it back because Andhra Pradesh government advised the industry to do that.
Okay, but despite that, raw material price correcting should continue to benefit us in the remaining two quarters. Is it
correct? Yeah. So the issue is that even though the raw material price correction is there, but these businesses now require a lot of initial investment. very sophisticated plants and laboratories, and we already commissioned a R&D center. So the issue is that we need certain amount of contribution per ton to cover our fixed cost. And I can definitely say that the contribution in Q3 and Q4 will be definitely better than H1, but still not enough, because during the season, which was in H1, most of our volumes were sold at lower contribution. Even if the volume in H2 gets sold at higher contribution, the overall contribution will still not be remunerated.
Okay, sir. Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. For questions, kindly press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Aegis Lakhani from Unify Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, so hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, have there been any inventory losses in any of the segments that have impacted margins in this quarter?
We have taken some hits in some pesticide stock. Not much, but since you asked me this question, I must disclose that. So we sold a lot of stocks which were near expiry, etc., at a discount. So that is the only hit we have taken in Q2. Rest, I think, most of it was in soya in Q1.
So this is traditional crop protection, 2/3 of the portfolio that is your own product basket?
This was a traded portfolio.
Oh, so this is in the traded portfolio. Okay, so then, sir, your blended margins in the traditional crop protection business have been higher. What exactly happened this quarter? Could you just explain that again?
So, there are many things which have happened. One is that we have taken some stock back, returns of unsold stock, because I think the first and the foremost thing we have to do is hygiene. Because if we did not take them back, we could not recover money from the market, and these disputes continue. So I think that we have done. Whatever unsold material is there, we'll just at the end of the season, we will take it back. That is the policy which we have made now. So I think that is there. Plus, we will try and dispose of all near expiry stock, all expired stock we will take back, and if it is not legally reprocessable, it will be destroyed. So that also will be done. Plus, there is the other big thing which we did is that to collect outstanding, because the recoveries have been extremely good in Q2 in this business, but it has not come free. It has come at a cost of some additional discounts and incentives which we have given to collect that money. So I think all in all, we are doing everything to clean up our system to be ready for next season with a clean slate. And my sense is that we are almost through in all this in Q3, and there will be very, very little spillover in Q4 this year.
Got it. And third quarter for the traditional business is the seasonally most weakest quarter, and fourth quarter is a slightly better quarter than third. Is that understanding correct?
Actually, normally, if you ask me, in animal feed, third quarter is supposed to be a very good quarter because raw material prices are the lowest. It is the corn season, it is the soya season, it is URB season in cattle feed. And it is also reflected in milk prices also, which may not, because most likely there will not be any flush. So Q3 is the start of margin enhancement due to low raw material cost in animal protein industry. But unfortunately, not likely to happen. But surprisingly, because of shifting of season in oil palm plantation business, we will see a much better Q3 than expected.
Got it. So actually, my question for third quarter was on the traditional crop protection business. So that's a weak quarter for us.
You're absolutely right. It will be a weak quarter. Yeah.
Okay. And so, could you just call out what is the oil extraction ratio and the actual FFB collection?
Okay, just hold. So, in H1, 23 oil extraction ratio is 18.62% as compared to H1 FY22, 17.75%, which is higher by 87 BPS. And FFB process this year 322,000, last year 305,000, which is a 5.5% increase. Having said that, I must say that this year we are seeing a much larger shift in season than we saw last year. So I am expecting Q3 growth will be much, much better than last year Q3 growth.
Got it. And so from your own end, do you, given the acreage that you have, when do you see the, larger volume shift really taking place? Can we expect it in FY24 or will it still be, based on the plantations you would have already done?
So you will see a secular growth at least for next 3-4 years. So I must also tell you that because of that NMEOP scheme, we have imported almost 3x of seedlings what we imported in year 22, in 23, which is a very, very big jump considering our allocations in Assam, Tripura, Manipur, and other states, plus more allocation in Telangana and Andhra Pradesh also. So definitely in this year onwards, you will see a quantum increase in our plantation. But it is a long gestation business. It will all show up as a step jump in FY26, FY27 or so.
Got it. And sir, in the milk business, given that, Flush is rolled out for 23, at what level, and given that, our VAP portion is already quite significant, at what revenue scale do we start to break even?
So I think you asked a very interesting question. So I'm saying that there are a few things which would have definitely helped our business this year. Or the big thing is scale. Considering the contribution margins remain what they are. So we just did the back of the envelope mathematics that we would have been profitable if we crossed 2000 crores in FY23. However, we are very likely to cross 1500 crores in FY23, up from about 1200 crores, because you must have seen that our growth is almost 27%. Top line growth is 37%. And salience has also gone up to 34% in H1 from 29%. And I must tell you that what is heartening is to see growth in curd was 52% in H1 year on year, and premium value added products 34%, ghee 30%, etc. So on value added salience, I'm very sure that we will keep on improving, and we will try and aggressively gun for 45% plus salience next year. The worry remains the cost of milk again and again. So we really do not know when it will start tapering or it will be steady, when the prices will catch up with what is likely to happen. The only green shoots I can see is that Tamil Nadu, which had not taken price increases for times immemorial, I think for almost 2 years they have not taken price increase in the retail market, and the gap between us and private players and the government dairy milk was between 16 to 18 rupees in different parts of Tamil Nadu. Suddenly, I think 2 days ago, they announced a 12 rupee price increase. And I am saying that if same behavior is exhibited by all cooperatives, we are likely to see some price increase to cover some additional costs which have incurred in the past few months because of milk costs in the coming quarter. Let us see how it pans out. But from the outside, we get a feeling even the cooperatives are running out of steam in terms of supporting low prices. So let us see. But I think if we have 45% salience at the same contribution level and a 2000 crore plus turnover, we would definitely be near break even next year.
Got it. So basically, you're saying that the path to profitability will be 25, 24 is when you will break even in dairy.
You never know. I'm saying that this is very much, in this business, I've seen. Seen changes very fast. I think one day people can wake up and take a 4 rupee price increase. Now a 4 rupee price increase translates to something like 5% or 6% price increase, which is big actually.
And that is a cascading effect because curd prices go up by even more, value added products by even more, and where the price elasticity is little less. So I am just saying that anything can happen, so we just keep keeping a fingers crossed. But definitely what you, as current situation is there, a 2000 crore 45% salience is something which may happen in 24.
Got it. And so just a small request, in next quarter, if you could consider to give the gross profit per liter for the milk portion, it will just give us to contextually understand where you are, if that's possible. And so my last question is, sir, you spoke about live bird prices being 100, 110. What were they in the corresponding quarter in 1Q? And what do you think of, you mentioned that 3Q prices are going to be in range, in this range. So are we again expecting a slightly weakish quarter, or do we expect the path to profitability to come back in third quarter itself for the poultry segment?
So I think you will appreciate the numbers which I am going to tell you, because being in stock markets, you are also used to volatility. So January cost of production was 84 and the price was, cost of production was 87 and the price was 84. In March, cost of production was 95, price was 126. In May, cost of production was 102, price was 117. In July, cost of production was 98, price was 76. In September, in August, cost of production was 97, price was 72. In September, cost of production is 97, price was 94. In October, cost of production is close to 90. And the price is about 91 or 92. And I'm saying that this is the season for peak consumption. We also know from peak sales and the raw material consumption patterns which we are hearing from the market that placements are a little low. That is why I'm expecting the cost of production because of raw material cost improved efficiency to drop to 87, 88 and price to remain between 100 to 110 in different parts of the country.
Got it, sir. That's very helpful. And sir, roughly what is the component out of the sales which is coming from, yummies and, real good chicken? It's about 35-40%?
Okay. So, 44% of our sale in live was live bird in first half.
Okay.
Good thing was that last year first half was 56%, so there's a drop of 12% there. In yummies, last year was 17%, this year is 16%, so there is a drop of 1%. Last year we had excellent demand in the first quarter because of COVID. So I think that is the base effect we are having. But we are very happy with the progress in yummies business. I think the stealing thing, and I think this is where biggest correction has happened, is that last year Real Good Chicken was 26% salient, and this year it is 40%.
Got it. And sir, at an EBIT level, the yummies and the RGC business is profitable for us, right?
So at contribution level, I can tell you that from... This is percentage, so... This percentage, so I've come, no? Last year we had a contribution, which is margin after variables, in live at about 4%, now it is about 3%. Yummies, which was 40%+, is now about 35%. Real Good Chicken was 4%, now it is about 10%. So, blended margin still remains the same at about 11%. But we are expecting a big growth in Yummies and Real Good Chicken in the coming months. So, I think we are in the right direction in this business actually.
Well, and sir, is it possible to divert the, the live bird sales towards more RGC and yummies in the years to come?
That's what happened. More and more live bird is going into these things and processing is going up. We are at about 85% utilization in both our plants. Both our plants are going in for debottlenecking. So my sense is that next year we will be able to increase our processing by 10 to 12% only by debottlenecking. And we have marquee customers, multinational CSRs, etc. I think we are producing the quality they want. So I think hopefully we'll keep on building on this business.
Got it. Thanks, sir. I'll call back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Ketarpal, a retail investor. Kindly proceed.
Hello, Mr. Yadav. I would appreciate if you can spend a minute talking about Maximilk. Every time I see you investing in that, I get excited. So what is your plan over the next 3, 4, 5 years, by when it will start contributing to our top line and bottom line, etc., etc.?
I can tell you that generational improvement in large animals takes a long time. So we harvest the, say we produce a embryo, then we impregnate the cow, and then 9 months later the new calf is born. And then it takes another 15 months for that calf to mature sexually and get inseminated again. So normally it takes about 30 to 33 months for the kind of herd we want to build, because we are interested not in the surrogate mother, but in the progeny of the offspring, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So it takes time. It is also biological activity, so plenty of times the embryo transfer fails in the first try. So there is a success of between 40 to 50% in that. Now, to set up a lab, to set up a farm, to get surrogate mothers, then to get very good quality offspring, and then to phase out the surrogate mothers, because mothers were only there to produce the high quality genetics. So I think it takes between 4 to 5 years, and that's what time we have spent. Now let me tell you what is happening right now. Right now we have got our herd size is close to about 1100, of which the 80-85% of the animals are the ones which have been produced and are very high quality genetics, which are at our farm. These animals, almost 500 of them are lactating now. I would say that in this country, a herd average of 20 was supposed to be very good, but we have a herd average of 24-25 liters. So I think that is one good thing which is happening, because several of these animals are producing 60 plus liters per day also in their peak. So I think we have the herd ready. Now we have got into a phase where we are producing 45 to 50 high quality offspring, and the farm is will be out of capacity for next 3-4 months. In next 3-4 months, we are constructing another farm now again in Nashik. Now, what is the output of this farm? So the heifers which we are producing are commanding a very good price, close to between 2.25 lakh to 2.5 lakh in the market. So that is one revenue stream we have. The other revenue stream we have is we are selling embryos. In that breed improvement program of NDTV, we have got a substantially big order. And in case that order continues to repeat and grow, which is the government policy, we will have to upgrade our lab to have more embryos. And third thing is that the kind of quality of milk we are producing is very high quality. You will not believe that the milk is now being bought by a multinational for their milk powder, etc. That is the quality of milk, and milk is traveling close to 1,000 kilometers per week there, and still very high quality and at a very remunerative price. Okay. Having said that, we have made losses. But this year, in case the milk prices remain the way they are, and all the embryo orders we are able to cater, we might just come close to EBITDA positive this year.
Okay. What is the turnover this year and expected next couple of years, over next, say, 2-3 years?
So, I don't have maximum numbers right now. So, Amit, just tell him that.
Yeah.
So, but point is that the one thing is that herd is now ready.
Okay. So this activity you want to remain focused only in and around Nashik only?
No. Now, I'm saying that the way things happen, suppose we have 700 animals. So, in 390 days cycle, all animals have to produce one more calf.
Okay.
So that is how this business goes. Beyond a certain point, which is 7 to 8 years, then there is an exponential rise because you have so many. You know, this progeny also keeps producing.
Yeah.
So I think the price has been paid. I think the price of learning and growing the herd is paid already.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yes. Before I make my closing comments, I just wanted to comment on some of the questions. There was a question about palm oil prices, and right now palm oil is tracking gas oil very closely because there's a lot of demand for biodiesel from palm oil to replace diesel. And another comment I wanted to make is that although it will take a long time to expand our palm oil production, as the trees take 5 years to grow, there will be very good nursery business in the next 5 years, and that itself will be a significant business. And beyond that, there will be rapid growth in palm oil production. With those answers to the question, I would like to thank all of you. I hope we have been able to answer all your questions. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, we would be happy to be of assistance. Stay safe and stay healthy. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on this call.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.